Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. Selvos and Scrap Hotline have joined forces for the winter warmer appeal. Donate blankets, coats or beanies to any of the 14 Scrap Hotline sites. Scraphotline.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
Kangaroo Island. Now, I'm not totally up with this story, Dits, but we only just got back to Adelaide yesterday. They're talking about building a bridge to Kangaroo Island. I just can't believe this.
14 k's long.
I just can't believe it. It's going to cost a fortune. 14 kilometre bridge. How many bridges do you know that are 14 k's long?
Nah, not many.
And that, I'll tell you what, that section of water, I've gone across by boat a few times. Yeah. It is rough
on the boat.
Guts going through there.
Backstairs passage.
Oh, yeah. What a nightmare. I remember, this is a true story, our boat broke down and the old scratcher had to use his mechanic skills to get it going. I remember laying there just going, I'm happy to die. No, I swear to God, I said it. I said, I'm happy to die. I'm that crook. Just kill me. Just she's all over.
There's nothing worse than seasickness.
She's all over. I'm happy to go.
Yeah. Look, there's a few issues here. I can't see the environmentalists letting this happen. You know that it's a real sanctuary, the KI, isn't it?
Yeah,
the
mayor's already coming to hurt that. Well, you build a bridge in Sydney Harbour, it hasn't ruined the environment.
No, fair point. But I just know
the issue is surely the cost.
Yeah.
And yeah, do the I don't even know if the KI people get a real say, but I suppose they do.
Do they want it
to be populated so much more?
Yeah.
It'll just totally transform the island.
Well, we were saying here this morning, we were talking to Tim, the button pusher, about it as well. If there was a bridge, you'd be more inclined to go there.
Of course it'd be a day trip.
Whereas at the moment you don't go there because it's so bloody hard to get to.
You would do day trips.
So therefore the place would be far more crowded than it is now.
Let alone week trips or families would be there all the time. It'd just be another part of South Australia.
But I think I read, Roo, if you loaded up the kids and went across in your car, it's something like $490 bucks return.
It's too expensive for a lot of people to go there.
People that live there complain about the ferry, the charge of the ferry. What do you think about this? 133353, do we need a bridge to Kangaroo Island? Do we build a bridge and get over it, they say?
And who the hell is going to pay for it?
Who is paying for it?
It's double the Royal Adelaide Hospital.
Yeah. No, that's right. But people that live on KI... believe, and I used to go there a bit and do the odd story for Channel 7, and they used to think that ferry trip should be an extension of the highway. They think it's very unfair that they have to pay, the fees they pay to get back and forward just to live there or to work there.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you had to do it on a weekly basis or a monthly basis. It's very, very expensive.
Is it?
Yeah, but is it viable to build a bridge across there as well? What do you think? 133353, would it ruin Kangaroo Island as well? Give us a call. 133353, ruined. It's here on Triple M. Roo, I've just had a quick look at the ferry prices. Now, say you and the missus, $50 each. It's $49, but let's round it up roughly. So 50, but there's $100 for you and the missus. Most people have got two kids, families, right? There's another $50. They're $25 a head.
Yep.
Right?
Do you get discount for more or not?
It's like the old days at the drive-in. Put a couple in the boot. Because otherwise it starts to add up.
What about if I got my caravan on the back?
Hang on. Your car. I haven't got to this yet. The car. $200 return for your car.
So you don't just pay per head. You pay for your car.
And your car. I don't know how they think. Well, you're meant to walk, are you? Cape Jervis.
I just thought you charge per head. Yeah,
right. Okay. Then if you've got a camper van or a trailer on the back, another $200. If you've got a bike, $22 return for your bike.
Oh, come on.
If you want to go surfing, you've got a surfboard, $22 return for your surfboard.
Whoa.
So all of a sudden we're up to about $500
if
you've got a camper trailer.
Yeah.
And there's plus, there's all these other additional costs as well. So
she's not cheap.
It is not cheap.
All right. Okay, let's take some calls. Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, Murray.
How you going, Roo?
Good, Murray. You're not Murray on the Murray, are you?
Nah, mate. I was actually born up on the Murray, actually.
Right,
Berry boy.
Berry. Right. Okay, the Demons, yep.
Mm.
All right, tell us about KI.
Oh, look, I do a lot of work over there with our company based in Mount Barker, and, it's a pathetic idea. Yeah, they could put the money into better infrastructure. Yeah, let's start looking at the farmers that are drought-proofing the rural parts of South Australia and that.
Drought proof. How are you going to do that?
Well, take the Ord River, Roo.
Yeah.
They can pump water 500 k's, and then that gravity feeds all the way back into the South Australian.
I think it looks like it's downhill on the map, but I don't know if it is. I think haven't they done that expense? I think it's too expensive to pump it down. But anyway, there probably is money to or way to spend the money better. Let's go to Parralara. G'day, Melissa.
Good morning, Roo.
What would you like?
Hi, I just want to say I'm nearly 40, yeah. And I remember 10 years of age, mum, no warning, my dad, where does matter, wasn't around,
yeah.
And saying, you girls, my sister, me, are being sent to Kangaroo Island. No idea where the f*** is Kangaroo Island.
That story was going well, and then just slipped a little, little rude
Melissa.
Word in there, Melissa.
Yeah, sure you meant to say that or not.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, let's keep it clean, folks. We're only talking about a bridge. Come on.
Yeah, let's go to Lockleys. G'day, Adam.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Adam. What do you think?
Look, unless we double the size of our state with the population, we simply couldn't afford it.
Well,
lovely idea, but it's a stunt. Has to be.
Adam, they get heck of a lot of tourists. When you say our population, I get where you're coming from, but do you know the tourism figures are amazing about people that actually fly into Adelaide, go straight to KI, and then fly straight back out again? There's a lot of international visitors.
Yeah, I agree, but the reality is it's a lot of money just to go across the island. You know, they still pay for the ferry, won't they?
Yeah.
Going there. But finish off South Road, for God's sake. Look all the trucks that get stuck on South Road.
Yeah.
How much would that suck per hour? Per truck, per company that travels, got taxis, it's beneficial just to finish off South Road, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you're probably right, Adam. Also, Portrush Road with all the trucks as well, they cop it a bit. So there are other priorities you would think with our roads, Roo.
Yeah, let's go to Port Adelaide. G'day, Patrick.
How you going, Roo? One thing I wanted to say, they put the bridge in, what happens to the ferry?
Well, the ferry would be gone, use.
It would be gone. That's a whole company that loses. Now losers out.
Yeah.
All those workers, you know, there's not. I wouldn't assume there'd be a lot of workers there.
Yeah.
Livelihood.
That would be a byproduct of it for sure.
Yeah.
But we'd have to take that into consideration. Anyway, Patrick, so thanks for that.
Ruin Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Let's get him on, shall we? Frank Pangello, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Roy. Good morning, Dits.
G'day, Frank.
It was a big announcement, Frank. This is not a crazy idea, but almost an outrageous idea. I say that in a good way. How long have you been thinking about this?
Why is it so crazy? You know, I remember 8 or 9 years ago when the Liberals trotted out plans for a stadium in the city, in the Adelaide CBD. They got howled down.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, have a look at it today.
Right.
It's a magnet.
Tell us how it stacks up, Frank. Financially.
Well, it would eventually. But the idea of all this, Roo, was to highlight the high cost of getting to that island when you've got such an asset sitting there that is underutilised and the lack of potential. But it's also the enormous costs that people on that island have to incur because of the isolation. It's totally isolated. And, you know, things that we take for granted, costs of petrol, groceries, sending kids to university, transport, energy, the freight costs are enormous. Everything is against that place, yet it could be the number one tourist attraction in Australia.
Yep.
So my idea is, well, look, let's look into the future. It probably won't happen in our lifetime, but it's time to start a discussion and get people talking. You have to have bold ideas.
So what are you talking about? You're talking about not actually doing it. You're talking about doing it in sort of 30 or 40 years' time, are you?
Well, no, look, it'll probably take 10 years to get the whole thing planned and ready to go and probably another 10 years to build. So, you know, it'll probably take 15 to 20 years for this thing to realise, you know, reality.
Frank, what's been the reaction so far from your fellow politicians? Have you got support for this?
Oh, look, you know, Rebecca is sort of a, she's got her view about it, and, you know, fair enough, that's, you know, what she thinks. She takes in the electorate of Mayo, but she agrees that the idea of this was to highlight the high cost of getting there. Look, fellas, yesterday, the ferry wasn't running, and we've got guests that stay over there, and they couldn't get over. And this is what happens during this time of the year. Mm. So it impacts on their economy. This would be an enormous boost to the economy.
Yeah, but it doesn't stack up, though, Frank. Seriously. I mean, of course, it'd be great if it was there. We'd all love to have a bridge to KI, but it just doesn't stack up. So it's...
Why doesn't... Tell me why it wouldn't stack up.
Because if you spend $5 billion on a bridge, mm-hmm. where are you going to get mm-hmm. the money from for starters? And how many people are going to use it every day? Is it 1,000 people a day or is it 500 people? It just financially does not stack up.
It would stack up because eventually what you do... Well,
why
you
hasn't anyone done it then if it stacks up?
Well, no one's... got the bold plans to do it at this point. But eventually it'll have to happen, Ruth, because KI is going to be a massive investment opportunity for South Australia.
All right. Let's hear from the Mayor of KI, Peter Clements. Let's just have a listen to him, Frank.
High-rise buildings and spas and casinos and Disneylands, that's not what we're into. That's not what Islanders are about.
Did you consult the locals before you thought of this idea, Frank?
Well, I'm one of the locals as well, Ruth. There are a lot of locals on the island that... No. I've got a property over there, just like your mate Lee Wicker's got one. He's one of my neighbours.
Yep.
But a lot of locals will agree with me. In fact, it's, you know, the opinions divide. I don't expect everyone to agree with me. But, you know, let's look at the council, for instance. They struggle each year to meet their budget.
Yep.
They had to be bailed out because the overruns at the extension of the recent airport. Last year, they tried to introduce fortnightly rubbish collection on the island because they can't afford the cost of freighting the waste across there.
Mm. Frank, there's no doubt.
There are a lot of costs involved.
Yeah, you have. You've raised a good issue. Whenever I've visited there, and I love the place, I really do, but I don't go there that often, but it is cost prohibitive, I think. It's very expensive to get there, and we need to find some sort of solution.
We were going to go over there with caravans, with a few families a couple of years ago, Dits, and people decided not to go because of the cost of it. It's too expensive for families to go there in its current way.
All right. Well, you've definitely raised an issue, Frank. The cost of it. No, you have. I mean, the cost of it is prohibitive. So,
That's the idea. It could well be that the ferry costs will go down. That we may get another ferry from Glenelg to Kingscote. But nonetheless, we've got an opportunity there. There's a massive opportunity. Mm. You know, people come to South Australia just to go to Kangaroo Island, but they don't spend time in the state.
No, they don't.
And this would. No, they don't. And, you know, there are 2.3 million day trips made to the Fleurieu Peninsula every day. Only 38,000 of them go to KI. Mm. So that tells you something.
Frank, and if you can pull this off, there's a lot of people that won't have to get smuggled over to KI in the boat anymore as well.
You want to hear another little thing. These engineers are quite bright and got great vision. And they think, well, look, if eventually you get a bridge to KI, why not one over from KI to York Peninsula and then from York Peninsula across Thistle Island and across the Eyre Peninsula?
What have you been on the weekend, Frank? The only good thing about having a bridge there, you wouldn't have to have your boat. You could just go fishing off the bridge the whole way over there because it's pretty good fishing over there.
You know, you've got to have vision. And we had vision for the Adelaide Oval, mate, and have a look.
Yep. Mm. Nah, good on you, Frank. Thanks for joining us, and keep the ideas coming because we do need this sort of stuff, this sort of innovation happening.
Got to be realistic,
but it's got to be able to, be able to pay for it.
Yeah.
Look, you haven't lived though. If you haven't thrown up on the KI ferry, you just haven't lived.
No. You really have to experience.
Make sure you do that before you die.
Yeah.
One of those must do. Yeah. What do they call it? The bucket list.
Bucket list. Yeah.
You need a bucket. That's right. Ruin Dits here on Triple M.
Let's talk footy next.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits Overnight Sports. Ru, I know soon you're going to go through the footy in depth, but just briefly, Port Adelaide down by 22 points yesterday. So top four chances are slipping away after losing to Frio last week and then going down to GWS yesterday. Now, there's an article in the paper this morning. Ken Hinckley spoke after the game about maybe bringing in a young ruckman now to settle the side down a little bit more.
Yeah, but at the same time, they're talking like, he even could get delisted. Kane Corns' article saying that he's really not setting the world on fire.
Billy Frampton, you're talking about. So what, he's been at the club 4 years and hasn't played a game yet.
No.
So... bit slow developing, I guess.
Yep.
But was it Lobie that spent 5 years at Port Adelaide before he played as well? I think also Thurston's did. So the big blokes...
Oh, they take a long time, Dits. That's why people don't like picking them up.
Mm.
But they need to do something because they can't have Charlie Dixon in the ruck.
Mm. All right.
But Ryder's only a week or two away.
Yeah. That's right. Adelaide 12th on the ladder after the win over Brisbane at the Gabba. You've got Melbourne this Saturday night at the Adelaide Oval. That is a big, big game.
Massive game, because Melbourne could miss the eight. Melbourne could do what they did last year and miss the eight.
Well, they lost to Geelong over the weekend, and this is every boy's dream, isn't it, to kick a goal after the siren.
Inside forward 50, ball for the Cats. They need a mark. And they've got the mark. What a mark by the Irishman, Tui. You're 40 metres out to win the game after the siren. Here comes Zach Tui. Right foot, drop punt.
He's done it.
You superstar, Zach Tui. The Cats are home in an absolute belter at the Cattery.
Oh, Roo, the number of times I did that in the backyard as a kid.
Oh, yeah. After the siren, But Melbourne, they're one of the siren. I mean, they could finish in the top four as well. It's that tight. I think other than Collingwood, West Coast and Richmond, it's wide open, right down to 12.
An amazing
competition.
It's going to
be a great 5 weeks coming
up. Yesterday's other games, Hawthorn thrashed Carlton. Carlton were just diabolical. West Coast flogged the Dogs as well. Port Adelaide play the Dogs this weekend in Ballarat.
In Mars.
That's right. Now in the golf, Italy's Francesco Molinari has won the British Open, the first Italian to do so. He held off Tiger Woods, Justin Rose, Rory McIlroy. So all the big names.
Tiger.
He played well, Tiger, over the weekend.
Is he back?
He's back. He played very well. He produced a faultless 69 in very windy conditions at Carnoustie in Scotland.
Wow.
In the Formula One, Sebastian Vettel crashed out of the lead in the German Grand Prix as Lewis Hamilton took victory and the championship lead, and Daniel Ricciardo's car needed the RAA. It broke down.
Hey, just a little one in the world of footy. Did you see Scott Pendlebury? A lot of people were amazed about his talent, Stitz, coming from a basketball background, can do a lot of clever things with the football. Did you see that he went to bounce the ball on the weekend and he accidentally bounced it off the back of a pigeon
and it
come back to him.
Did it?
Unbelievable stuff. Tim, have you got that there?
Has that ever been done before?
No. He can do anything, can't
he? Can. He can.
You know, there's three pigeons in the middle of the ground that have not moved all day.
Here's Pendlebury. He bounces the ball on the pigeon and it still comes back to him.
And he's off.
A little bit of Cirque du Soleil.
Very skillful stuff to be able to do that. Not sure if you can practice that or not, but well done there.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Saw a story on the project the other night. It's a real concerning one. We know that methamphetamine use and ICE's, the use of it's gone through the roof over the last, 5 or 6 years. It's doubled, quadrupled, all those sort of numbers, huge amounts of numbers. It's absolutely scary. It's in country areas. It's in city areas. It's absolutely everywhere in all different sorts of regions. And we know all about that. We know all the problems with it that have come with it. But I saw a story on the project, and it went into problems they're now having with people who are buying houses or renting houses and have absolutely no idea that the house was formerly used as a meth lab for producing methamphetamine or just had tenants or owners that were users of methamphetamine.
Why would that be an issue?
Because what it actually does, Dits, it actually contaminates the house. Now, don't get me into specifics of it, how it does it, but it must get into the walls or on the walls and gives off odours. And the story on the project was saying how this couple, I think they had kids as well, and they're all getting sick.
Oh, really?
They're getting sick and they didn't know what was going on and, ended up to do with methamphetamine. It had been used as a lab. And I just thought, gee, this is an interesting situation because real estate agents aren't going to know that, necessarily that it was used as that. They
don't You're not going to promote the idea either, are you?
Well, you're certainly not going to promote it. But if they know, should they have to promote it? Mm. Should they have to get cleaned now before they for sale or for tenanted, because you can't have people getting sick moving into a house. I mean, it's just something that you never have to think of, that you'd have to think about.
No, well, there's a fellow that knows a whole heap about this. He's the managing director at Meth Screen, and I take it they go in and actually decontaminate these places. Ryan Matthews joins us. Good morning, Ryan.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning.
What sort of things happen with a house that has formerly previously been a meth lab? What would happen if I moved in and lived there?
If you moved in and lived there, you'd feel You know, of course, depending on your sensitivity and depending on the level of contamination, but, you know, insomnia, sleep disturbance, rashes, respiratory problems, eye irritations, you know, those are sort of the common, some of the real common ones. In young children, you know, respiratory issues could lead to hospitalization, especially if they've got a pre-existing condition like some asthma or something like that. It can be really, really severe. So migraines in adults is obviously a really common one, and just lack of sleep. So, yeah.
So how many houses are contaminated out there? Like if let's just say you had a couple that smoked ice in the house for, you know, a couple of years or something like that, does that mean that house is actually, would that be contaminated? If they moved out and then someone moved in, would they get side effects from that?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of years is a long time, you know, because the drug will, the residue itself will build up. So it doesn't dissipate, it doesn't go away. And, you know, it's got a half-life of a couple of decades. So you would actually, over that period of time, the level could be, you know, significant, well above the safety guideline that's set in Australia.
So I'm presuming here that the actual meth gets into the walls and into the carpets, into the ceiling, like, say, it would in the pores of skin. Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, that's right. Porous items definitely absorb the residue a lot more, and obviously it will solidify against the gibrock in the wall. And when you make contact with that, or it gets pushed around the property through the split air or exhaust fan, things like that, that's when people obviously come in contact with it a bit more. So, yeah. You know,
so what percentage of houses are actually contaminated out there, do you reckon, Ron?
Oh, it's pretty severe. Being really honest, you've got 15 to 20 years of manufacture and use in Australia, and a lot of historical contamination is really the issue. I'd say about 8 to 12% of all dwellings nationally would have a presence of methamphetamine. I'm not saying they're all contaminated, but, you know, a high percentage of that percentage I gave possibly would be contaminated. I've got to be a little bit careful about, you know, trying to you know, scare people. But, you know, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of properties because there's, you know, over 2% of the population use the drug. So they're not smoking it out on the street. They're smoking it inside a dwelling or manufacturing it for that matter. So,
is there any states where, if it has been used as a lab or anything like that, that it's compulsory that needs to be made public or anything when they sell it? Or is none of that happening yet?
Yeah, like if the property is being busted by the police, then there's a process to clean it up and it gets reported to local council. But that's probably only like about 5% of all contamination goes through that process. The balance does not. There's no requirement at this stage to clean it up. And, you know, real estate, you know, once again, I'll be pretty careful about what I have to say, but, you know, and unfortunately not extremely forthcoming with that, you know. You know, there's no regulation in place to kind of reinforce them doing that. And I guess it's a disruptive part of their business. So, you know,
I know you're not a doctor, but if you live in a house that's contaminated, can you get addicted just by smelling it in?
Children really are the most, because, you know, adults can process it through their, you know, break it down, you know, through the body a little bit quicker than a child. But a child would get withdrawals like they are using the drug. And Dr. Jackie Wright, who's the leading scientist in Australia, she's done her PhD thesis on this. You know, she's actually tested children's hair that have been inside properties from third-hand passive exposure. And they actually have the same levels in their system as a low-level user. So, so Dr. Jackie Wright's a wealth of knowledge for that, and she's extremely credible internationally. So, you know, we've seen the research coming out of her. So, yeah.
Well, thanks, Ryan.
Yep, thanks for sharing that with us, Ryan. Ryan's the managing director of Meth Screen, and they'll
is
come in.
Is that scary
and,
or what?
Yeah, it is.
Well, what about for the poor kids or families or people just moving into these places? He's saying up to 8 to 10%.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
Well, it's a massive number. I just wonder, has anyone out there been affected by this where they've just moved in unaware totally into a rental or a bought a new house and had problems with this? Give us a buzz on any experiences you've had there. 1-333-53. Yeah, have you had any experiences with a house that's affected or contaminated by meth use?
And by the way, Ryan's company, Meth Screen, actually come around and decontaminate your house. I mean, that's what they do. So clearly there's a big need for it. So, yeah.
It'd be the last thing you'd think about is if you moved into a house that, and you go, well, you're going to ask that question. Feel well, I'm not sleeping properly.
Yeah. I want to buy this. Sorry, excuse me, real estate agent. Was this a meth lab or... Well, you don't think of that. You don't ask that question, do you? Well, I wouldn't.
1-333-53, give us a buzz.
Identity. Mistaken identity. Fair income. How could you mistake a 75-year-old bloke? Well,
probably because they're off their brains as well.
Yeah, and they've absolutely bashed and kicked the hell out of this bloke. Isn't that just a shocking story?
Well, that is a shocking story. In their 70s, you'd think you'd work it out pretty quickly, wouldn't you?
Mm. But that's the other side of drug labs as well in your area. So,
yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Oh, let's get him on, shall we, for a laugh on this Monday morning. G'day, Lemo.
Hey!
Hey, now, did you move house over the weekend?
Yeah, we did. I heard you guys talking there about the old meth labs, houses, meth labs, people moving into meth labs.
You didn't move into a meth lab.
Mate, I'm pretty sure we haven't moved into a meth lab. Like me and the missus, we're both totally fine. She's fine, I'm fine, everyone's fine. I had a chat to the neighbours, they're all good. No problems in our house. I'll tell you what, the move was quick. It took only like an hour. We've
right.
emptied the truck, got it in the house.
Wrap it up, right, okay.
You obviously didn't use meth screen before you moved in.
No issues at our joint, I'll tell you. Haven't unpacked the bed yet, no need for it.
He didn't even get removed. Listen to help, did you?
No, I did it ourselves. Carried all the furniture on my back, crossed 3 suburbs. All good, guys.
Hey, you're actually on the project there on Friday night when I saw that story.
You know what, Roo, that story genuinely freaked me out. I had no idea. But you know what, off the back of that story, my first thought was, if it's that unhealthy to move into a house that used to be a meth lab, imagine what it's like living in a house while it is a meth lab.
Seriously. That's a whole different story. But I presume you can just cruise around these houses and just lick the walls, can you?
Well, if it's having that effect, imagine what it's doing to your pets as well.
That'd be like you were at the start of this segment.
Gee, well, the Alsatian, we need to take it for 6 walks a day. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to board a collie on ice, would you?
You're rounding up everyone in the suburb, not only the sheep.
Would you ever? Hey, guys.
Or a Rottweiler, for that matter. Something like that. A little bit of anger management.
Wouldn't want to let that one off the leash down at the park, would you?
Or a crazy poodle. Look out.
Poodle's dug 35 tunnels out of it's like escape from Alcatraz at our job.
A rabbit?
Phone in and suggest a funny pet.
Talking cocky?
There we go. Polly want to crack it. We're going to have to extend the vocab or this is going to get annoying. Dearie me. Anyway, that's it, guys. Thanks very much. I see as well today. They're building, is this true, a bridge to Kangaroo Island? Is this a true story?
It's not April the 1st. Lemo, I only just got back from Gold Coast yesterday and I saw this story. I thought I was getting set up.
Bridge to Kangaroo. This is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard. And the reason I say that is I've just bought 2 ferries. So this is not good for business. I reckon, though, if you want to get a bridge is stupid. A tunnel. That's where it's at, guys. A tunnel.
Yeah.
Remember, Ditz, you'd remember the glory days of Marineland at West Beach there?
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you could walk through and all the animals would be swimming around you?
Yeah.
Well, imagine a tunnel to Kangaroo Island.
So we could walk across there.
Well, you walk or drive, whatever. Well, you can walk if you want. I drive,
right.
And then you'd have just the ocean around you
made of glass.
As you drive. It's made of glass.
Talking. Yeah, that'd be even cheaper, wouldn't it?
So I
just think that $5 just gone to $15 billion.
He definitely moved into a meth lab.
Yeah. Gee whiz. They reckon they're going to spend $5 billion on this bridge.
We've got spare.
We've got heaps of cash here.
Yeah.
Didn't you do a story last week where they've run out of beds at the Royal Adelaide Hospital. Oh, yeah, people checking in hotels. Oh, no, we'll build a bridge to Kangaroo Island. Yeah. That'll service 20 cars a week. That's bloody money well spent. Oh, boy. Hey, guys, on the weekend, I went to a couple of friends of mine. It was my first gay wedding on the weekend.
Oh, really?
Of course, gay marriage legalised at the end of last year.
Well, you got married or...
Don't tell the missus. A couple of friends of mine got married on the weekend. And can I say this? The gay weddings, the boost for the economy, it cannot be underestimated. These two did not spare the horses when it came to putting on a party.
Yeah.
They had flamingos.
Yeah. Mariachi.
They never.
Talking like.
Well, if they were real, they were very still for the entire night.
Oh, very good at it, yeah.
Waiting for people to throw coins into a hat in front of them. flamingos, mariachi band, ice statues. They had glitter vases.
Oh, no.
Cakes. There was a bouncy castle. I've never seen one of those at a wedding before.
Sure you weren't at the Mardi Gras.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is my point, Dits. They spent an absolute fortune at this wedding. The economic benefits of gay marriage. I tell you, if you're going to invest in something, invest in some sort of marriage planning, because that's where the economic benefits are.
Yep.
I did question their the bridal song, though.
What was it?
That they play. Well, I've got it here for you. Here
okay.
It
is. It wasn't, was it?
No, that was the one I had with my wife.
Oh, yeah.
When we got married.
That gets you in the mood, yeah.
You know it did. Straight back to Jules Bar Tavern with that little tune. Hey, and quickly, guys, I know you've mentioned this morning, Scott Pendlebury on the weekend. How's that bounce the footy? Landed it on a pigeon's head on the MCG. That pigeon was named in North Melbourne's best players. really had a bit of an impact there.
Didn't have many on the weekend, did they?
No, they didn't, which is how the pigeon made it in. And concussion test, though. Pigeon's fine. They had the pigeon on the blue whistle on the sidelines. The pigeon was loving life. Front page of the Herald Sun today, though, and this is beautiful. There's a photo of Scott Pendlebury at a local vet hospital with the pigeon.
Touching moment.
Just recovering. And I believe the pigeon will run out with the team next week. So that's
we'll have pigeon round next year. In the AFL. Ditz is a big advocate for having these rounds.
I can see 10 pigeons waiting for Scott Pendlebury next week. They're all going to shit on him.
Bill Lurie will bring out a heap of pigeons and let them go at the start of the game.
Oh, right. They're going to leave the statues alone outside the MCG and attack Pendlebury.
Good on you, Limo.
See you, Limo.
We'll talk again later in the week. The one and only Limo Ruin Ditz on Triple M.
Ruin Ditz for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Tell us about the footy on the weekend, Roo.
We'll start with yesterday, Ditz, because that's a fresh in our minds game. Look, Port have dropped two games that you would have penciled in to win, Freo and GWS at home, Ditz, wouldn't you? If you said 2-3 weeks ago, you would have said win-win.
Yeah, they've let it slip a little bit.
If they won those two, they would have been on top of the ladder or equal on top of the ladder, but they haven't, and that is the season to a T at the moment. It is so tight from, as I said, only a couple of teams up the top look a bit better than everyone else, but GWS is a bit like the Crows, started to get their good players back, and when they got their good players back, they are a very good football side.
Watching them in the flesh yesterday, like you get to see them on TV a lot, I couldn't believe how good they were. They are so skillful, and they haven't really got a weakness. Now, I want to ask you a serious question here. I'm not making excuses, but was that a real bad loss? Because I came away from yesterday thinking they are a very, very good side.
They call them the Orange Tsunami when they're up and about, and that's the ball movement of blokes like Shiel, Cornelio, Kelly,
Whitfield.
Hopper, Whitfield, all through that midfield. They are, you know, and especially when they've got a ruckman who just dominated yesterday without Ryder out there. Dawson Simpson, 46 hit out, 17 to advantage. That's an abnormal amount. So they were behind the eight ball with that. But they did play pretty well. Certainly early GWS were very good. Port Adelaide's forward line was hopeless without Dixon up there, wasn't he? Like, it just showed. And they tried Westhoff, and then they had to try Howard in there because GWS had a small forward line, so they put Howard in there. And that worked better. Dixon was really good up forward. So they need to leave Dixon there this week and use Howard and Hoff as their ruckman and just leave Dixon up there. It doesn't matter if he marks it. He just creates a contest, brings it to the ground, which is predictable for all the small forwards. They looked a lot better when they did that.
Port still could have won the game, mind you.
They could
they
have
got into a position.
I said on Fox halfway through the last quarter, if I had to pick one out, I'd pick Port because GWS with 15 minutes to go put a player behind the player and tried to play safe.
Yeah.
They played into Port's hands. I thought that was bad coaching. I might be wrong. They end up winning the game, so they you know, you could argue they got it right. But I was surprised how defensive GWS went. But in the end, they got the points, and they went from ninth on the ladder to sixth, and they're only a win outside the top four now, GWS. Port Adelaide have got the Dogs at Mars Stadium in Ballarat this week. They should win that. And then they've got Crows, West Coast, Collingwood. They're all tough games, and then Essendon at home. So
very tough.
You think they'd win two of those minimum, and that'll get them to 13 and a good percentage. That should get them in the finals. But then any of the wins against Crows, West Coast, or Collingwood will push them up higher, maybe a home final, maybe a top four. Mm. So they've got a bit of work to do, Port. They need Ryder back.
Yep.
Crows had a win and are 12th. So they might even have gone backwards. I don't know if they're 11th before the weekend or not, but they went backwards anyway. They're 12th on the ladder, but there's still a chance to make the eight. They might have to win all their games. They might have to win, because of their percentage, they might have to win all five to get in. And that is their chance to do that. Their chance to not do that as well. Maybe they only have to win four out of the five to get in, Dits. But tell you, having a look at Brisbane again, up close, they are shaping up to be a very nice football side. And that's what you get from finishing down the bottom for a long time. You get a lot of good draft picks. They got a lot of speed, Dits. They got a lot of skill. They got some really good older players, senior players that blend in with their youth as well. So I wouldn't be surprised next year if they have a good run with injuries to push for the eight. I think they're going to start getting hard to beat up there. I like what Chris Fagan's doing. And, there's no real weaknesses in that side at the moment. So it was a good game, high speed, a lot of skill, some really good grabs. Obviously, Duda and Murphy concussed. Didn't even get free kicks against them. That was,
I can't believe that. Now, Roo, I'm a bit annoyed with the AFL this year, with the way they're going with rules, and I think the umpiring is at an all-time low.
Mm.
How your two lads got knocked out and didn't even get frees for them, it's baffling.
Yeah, well, that's an umpiring decision. That's it's just weird. And once again, if the umpires do not get in the right positions and surround contest, they're going to get blindsided, and that's what must have happened with Duda. Resting midfielders forward is what's happening with the Crows. They did it with Sloan and Gibbs out of full forward. They did it with Greenwood on the weekend, and he was a match winner, kicking four, could have had five. Walker will be back this week from suspension. Douglas might be back as well. And Brody Smith, who played his first game back in the SANFL, had 25 touches and played pretty well, apparently. What will they do with him? Do they bring him back after one, or does he have to play two or three or four? It's going to be interesting to see decision they make with him. They brought McGovern in after 10 weeks on the weekend, and they did it with Sloan after 10 weeks. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Brody Smith. But
Crows that is building, a
big
building
game.
Nicely.
It could get knocked on the head this week against Melbourne, but that is going to be a huge game Saturday night.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Scott Pendlebury with that pigeon, Dits. Amazing bit of work, how he just balanced the ball on the back of it, the ball bounced back up, and he just kept playing on as we saw on the weekend. But you said you had a bit of a story with on the golf course.
Well, it just got us talking about when animals have been involved in your game, or you know, whatever. We used to always see when I used to watch the Channel 9 footy show a few years ago. You know, almost footy legends. Used to be a dog involved somewhere. Would run onto the field. Or,
always up on the in the country. There's a dog
come out in the middle and take a dump or something. Yeah.
Oh, no, stop the game. Get those bloody dogs. Get the bloody dog off the oval. Some bloke would come running off, get the dog, whack her on the back of the ute, and tie it up.
Pig ran onto the field when Plugger was playing.
Had a pig
Sydney.
There. Yeah.
Well, one day I was playing golf at Cooyonga. I was a guest because obviously I'm not in that sort of salubrious company to be able to play at Cooey.
Mm.
And I can't think what hole it is, but when it happened to me, people had said, oh, yeah, this happens a bit down here. But I've hit a beautiful ball down the middle as usual. Yeah. And as we're walking up, you know, a couple hundred metres towards the ball, a fox has run out.
What?
From the bushes, grab my ball and run back into the bushes.
Oh, come on.
And it was like I'd been set up. I thought, nah, there's a, you know, this is, there's a candid camera here or something.
What you want a fox?
The funniest thing ever.
What you want a fox to do is go and get your ball out of the bushes and get it and go and drop it in the middle of the fairway.
Drop it in the middle. I know. If I could train it to do that, I'd play off scratch.
Then you'd be a bloody good golfer, wouldn't you?
So we're just walking along. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And it happened at Kayonga. And then the other one I wanted.
Foxes would do it. I've heard of magpies doing it in the Riverland. They had a problem up at the Renmark Golf Course where magpies would swoop in and get the ball and fly off.
Really?
And you'd be standing there going, what am I going
to
do now?
Train them to fly towards the hole and
drop it now.
Right next to the flag. That's it. The other one, Roo, is every year I go on a golf trip up to Queensland. And what they do up there, the crows, bloody crows have come into my life in another way. But what they do up there is, they have a drinks cart because it's so warm up there, and the drinks cart comes around.
Where's this?
In Queensland.
All right.
And you buy a sandwich. So you're halfway through your round, and you buy a sandwich, and we learnt the hard way, but you'd have a bite out of your sandwich and then sit it on your golf bag and go and play your shot. And as you're playing your shot, you look over, and there's a couple of crows have knocked your sandwich off and flown away. So you start then unzipping your golf bag and put it inside a pocket or, you know, or in your, if you're in a golf cart, you put it in underneath somewhere. Mm. They're that good. They, with their beaks, they undo your zip.
Think
I'm making this up.
You are making it up.
There'll be people ring up and vouch for this. I'm serious. They're that good, the crows. They watch you.
Well, I know we're good.
Where you put it. Yeah. And then they go and they somehow unzip your bag and knock it off out of your bag. So it's unbelievable.
Where's this?
In Queensland.
Is this at Animal World or Australia Zoo or
some of the golf resorts? It's incredible.
Well, they're that hungry up there.
They must be.
Gee whiz, dits.
I know. So they're my close encounters with the animals out on the sporting field.
Good work, Dits. Good stuff.
Yeah. Have you had any?
No, not really. Just those magpies up in the Riverland Golf Course.
Has anything like this happened to you? Like Pendlebury bouncing the ball on a pigeon's head, a fox knocking off your golf ball, playing footy as a dog coming taking a dump, I don't know, any of those. Help us out with this. 133353, has this happened to you or not? Give us a ring. 133353. Hey, we've got Under the Southern Stars featuring Hoodoo Gurus, UMI, Eskimo Joe and more. This is unbelievable. Aussie Rock, it's coming up in January, but we've got tickets for this, Under the Southern Stars. Give us a call. 133353. When have the animals interfered with your sporting event?
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
All right, Dits, we're taking calls on when have animals impacted your life.
This is after Scott Pendlebury bounced the footy on the pigeon's head during the game on the weekend.
Centimetre perfect. Yeah. Let's go to Shido Park. G'day, Gav.
G'day, boys. How you going?
What's happened with you?
Going back some years, myself and a mate, a guy from the United States, were playing golf at Grafton, and he played a ball off the tee, sliced it into the bushes, and when we went over there, within the bushes, sort of laying down, sitting around, was probably about 40, 50 kangaroos. And right next to where his ball landed, without a word of a lie, there was a very large male kangaroo. Let's say having its way with a small female kangaroo, and his ball was right next to them, and we stood probably 20 metres away, and I said, I dare you to go and get that ball. You go and get that ball. You go and get that ball, mate, you'll probably get a punch in the head.
Yeah. So, what did the American mate say? Jeez, this is a crazy country.
Guess what he did? He got his camera out and started taking photos. That's what he did.
He's a pervert then. Right, eh? All right.
Without a word of a lie.
Good on you, Gav. That'll be hard to beat.
Bro, you can't interrupt that sort of thing.
No. You've got to give him peace. Let's go to Morpher Vale. G'day, Chris.
Yeah, g'day, lads. Pitbull, I can back you up with a fox at Kayonga. Heard that story as well, but I play weekly down at Wollonga, and we have some problems with ducks down there, if anyone who's played down there would know.
What do the ducks do?
Well, 11th hole, twice we've seen it. Get hit the ball down, fairway or in the rough. Duck walks across, having a bad day, picks up the ball, takes it back to the water and drops it in.
I tell you what, you want to be a local. You need to get to know your ducks on that course if you're playing for money.
Whiz. That qualifies for Duck Club with Jars and Louie.
I'll be happy.
That's good. Well done, Chris.
Let's go to Malala. G'day, Bluey.
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good, bloke.
Yeah, good. Every January down at West Beach Caravan Park, we have a big bocce comp against the Victorians.
Yeah, that'd be on.
Oh, yeah, she's full on. And mind you, they haven't won it too many bloody times.
Good.
We're throwing the... we're playing there one day, threw the little kitty down to start the next end. The bloody seagull come in and swooped and took the kitty and took off.
well done. All right. Good on you, Blue.
Let's go to Prospect. G'day, Jacob.
How you going, boys?
Good, Jacob. What happened to you?
Oh, so this is going back to high school. I had a game of soccer, and it was pretty much neck and neck, so we were drawing. My side, my school, got a penalty.
Yep.
So there we were lining up for the penalty. Everyone's really keen to get this goal, to get the win.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, this dog just runs onto the field. Yep. And initially, everyone thought he was going for the ball.
Yeah.
But instead, he parks himself right next to the ball and takes a steamy turd.
Oh no!
it pretty much it made the game. But unfortunately, we still got the win. But there you go.
So yeah. He kicked the goal.
That's what he thought of the.
We kicked the goal. I think the dog just gave us that confidence.
He didn't. He didn't like the decision. Apparently.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah, I guess so.
Good on you, Jacob.
Righto. Now, Roo, going to send someone off to this under the Southern Stars. Who did you like?
Listen, I think Gavin from Shido Park. That would have been a great story.
The two kangaroos.
The US player. He's made out from the US seeing the couple of kangaroos going for it.
Yeah. No, nice calls, though. I like those. That was good. Now, this is coming up in January, so you've still got a few months to prepare, but go to underthesouthernstars.com.au. Hoodoo Gurus, UMI, Eskimo Joe. What a lineup.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. Selvos and Scrap Hotline have joined forces for the winter warmer appeal. Donate blankets, coats or beanies to any of the 14 Scrap Hotline sites. Scraphotline.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.